Well, good morning, everyone. It's a week. Wow. Okay. I can tell some of you still haven't gotten used to daylight saving time yet. My name is Stuart Mizell. I am pastor here. It's great to see all of you here. Whether you're a member or you're visiting with us, it's just great to see all of you here. And thank you for those of you who are joining us online. I'm very thankful for the way that the Lord is at work in so many ways, in your lives, in our lives, in the church, in this community. It's really great to see. We have been going through a series entitled Pray. And for those of you who haven't been here, let me just kind of give you an overview of where we've been. And even if you have been here, this might help you to remind you of what we've talked about so far. I started off this series by saying I don't want to do another series where we're talking about the theology of praying, although that would be helpful in some ways. What I really wanted to do is to encourage us to pray. And so we've talked about things like how God invites us to pray about the things that are causing us anxieties. In fact, He invites us to pray about every circumstance and every situation that we find ourselves in. Second, we've seen that when we pray, we are to pray in the name of Jesus. We come to God through the Lord Jesus and what He has done for us in His death and resurrection. And we pray in a way that aligns ourselves with who Jesus is, not trying to go off the rails and do our own thing, but go on the rails of what Christ has called us to. We've talked about how we are to pray in the Holy Spirit, that in and of ourselves, we are powerless even to pray rightly. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit not only to intercede for us in ways that we can't even speak, but we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to pray rightly. And we need Scripture. We need God's Word. God has given us His Word for that very purpose, so that we can grow from it, so that we can learn. And part of the way that we grow is learning how to pray according to what the Scriptures say. And then we've looked at two specific types of prayers that we are all called as believers to do. And that's one, to pray for gospel laborers to be raised up. Jesus said that the harvest is white, but the laborers are few, and we need laborers to go out into the communities, out into the world, to speak the truth of the gospel. And so we're to pray for that. And we also talked about last week about praying about temptation, that when there is temptation coming our way, rather than giving into it and then praying afterwards for forgiveness, why don't we start by saying, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Keep that temptation from me. And if that temptation is still going to come, help me to see the way out, the way of escape. Today, we're going to be looking at the words of Jesus in Matthew 7. So if you'd like to turn in your own Bible and read that, you're welcome to do that. If you'd like to look at the screen, you can read it there. This is the Word of God. Jesus is speaking. And He says this, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? Let me pray for us. Lord, help us to believe your word. We have doubts. We have fears. We have things that cloud our mind. We have perspectives on reality that are not in line with how you see reality. We have so many issues, and yet you are a good God. And so today, by your Holy Spirit, will you give us ears to hear? Will you give us the ability to understand? Will you give us hearts that will receive your word? And will you work in us faith and repentance and the good things that flow from faith and repentance, that we would be obedient to you, even in the way that we pray, and give us a clear vision of how you in the gospel have given us so much that we can trust you in all things. We ask this, Jesus, in your name and for your glory, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, our one true God. Amen. Have you ever felt that prayer wasn't worth it? And be honest. I know that we're in a church setting and you're supposed to say, yes, prayer is worth it. But have you ever thought, it's not worth it to pray about this? My prayers aren't really heard. My prayers aren't really answered. Maybe you even doubted that there is a God up there hearing your prayers. There's this quote that I came across from someone who definitely felt that way, and here's what that person wrote. I stopped praying because my prayers didn't do any good. They only made things worse. I stopped praying because God obviously never listened to me. I stopped praying because I was tired of being let down and abandoned by someone who was supposed to never abandon me. All I know is praying has left me disillusioned, callous, and cynical. Now, I know those words are pretty strong. And maybe you're hearing those and you go, oh, I would never say that out loud. But can't we all agree that there have been times where we've had an experience where we have prayed, maybe even prayed fervently, and our prayers seemed unanswered, and we don't feel connected to God, and we are tempted to either stop praying altogether, or, and this is more likely for Christians in the South at least, we go through the motions. We pray, but we don't really pray because we have no expectation that we're actually going to be heard. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but my bet is if we were all honest with ourselves and with each other, more of us would admit we've been there, done that. Maybe even we are there. So you come today for whatever purpose God has you here, and maybe you've been here since the beginning and you've heard all these sermons on prayer and you're thinking, yeah, whatever, because like, I'm just going through the motions with prayer. Or maybe this is your first time here and you're saying, well, yeah, I'm there. I don't know. I don't know where you are. God does. But I will say that when we come to prayer, we have to think about it the way that God says to think about it. Because God is the one who invites us into prayer. God is the one who invented prayer. God is the one who says, pray to me, and this is what will happen. And that leads us to what we're going to talk about today from Matthew 7. Here's the big picture of what we're going to talk about today. God calls us. God calls us to pray expectantly. God calls us not just to pray, not just to say words, not just to get on our knees or bow our heads and fold our hands, but to pray expectantly. How do I know that? Well, here it is right here from the lips of Jesus himself saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Do you see what Jesus is saying there? He is saying, when you pray, pray with an expectation that God will hear and God will respond. And this is where the but whatabouts normally happen. You know what I mean by the but whatabouts? Whenever we read this passage, whenever we talk about this passage, and somebody kind of presses on it a little bit and says, see, Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. And somebody says, but what about James chapter 4 that tells us that sometimes we ask and we ask with selfish motives and so we don't receive? But what about those times when we don't pray in the name of Jesus? I mean, Stuart, you actually talked about that in one of your sermons. But what about, and we keep going with the but what abouts for a long time until we go, okay, you're right. God doesn't really want us to expect anything from him. And that's kind of where we land, unfortunately. You see, those but whatabouts have some validity, but it also what has some validity is we have to ask the question, are the but whatabouts coming from a zeal to uphold the fullness of God's truth? And we love his truth so much that we want to make sure that everybody understands the fullness of it, or are they a thinly veiled attempt to keep our unbelief a secret from each other and maybe even from ourselves? I can raise my hand on that one. There have been plenty of times where I have said those very words, those but whatabouts, and the reason I said it was because there was unbelief in my heart and I didn't want to get my hopes up that God may actually hear, that God may actually do something in response to prayer. And I don't think I'm alone. In fact, I know I'm not alone. I've talked to many of you who have talked about how prayer is a struggle for you. And part of the reason why is sometimes you feel like, my prayers go no farther than the ceiling. That's a phrase I hear a lot. Or I don't feel like I'm really connecting with anyone. I pray and nothing seems to happen, right? And so we use the but whatabouts to hide unbelief. Some of you know the name Robertson McQuilkin. I think he was at CIU for some time. And he had this quote that it keeps coming to mind over and over again. The quote that he has that maybe you've heard, it seems easier to go to a consistent extreme than to stay in the center of biblical tension. Let me say that again. It seems easier to go to a consistent extreme than to stay at the center of biblical tension. And when I think about that quote and I think about the but whatabouts, I think that's part of what we're doing. We're going to an extreme. We're going all the way on the other side of trying to give ourselves some room just in case God doesn't really answer prayer. But there's a tension in saying, I can pray with expectation, and I can also understand that God is God and I am not. God is the one who answers prayers the way He wants to, when He wants to, how He wants to. I don't get to dictate to God what God will do. I get to come to God and pray and ask, knowing somehow, in some way, I will receive. There's a tension there. But we need to remind ourselves that these are the words of Jesus. These are not just the words of some scrub, you know, with the red shirt that's going to get killed at the end of the show. This is Jesus Himself, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God in the flesh, the way, the truth, and the life. And He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. So the question I think we have today for all of us is, do we believe this is true? Do we think Jesus is telling us the truth? Or do we think He's trying to sell us something? And we've got to deal with Jesus' actual words. And see, sometimes we get like we get caught up in, okay, well, my prayer, it needs to be done just right, and then God will answer my prayer. If I get all the specifics right, that's what will make God answer my prayer correctly. But I want you to hear this, and this is grounded in this passage, that our expectation isn't grounded in the specifics of our prayer. All right? Our expectation of God isn't grounded in the specifics of our prayer. It is found in who God is. Not in who I am, not in how great my prayer is, not in how I just word it just the right way. It is found in who God is. You see, we want a formula. We want someone to tell us if you pray A and B and C, you will get what you want. Right? Sort of the name it and claim it group. That's the temptation. If you pray in just the right way, God will give you what you want. But it's not about the specifics. It is about the God who has said these things to us. In fact, let's read this passage again and hear where Jesus grounds our expectation. He says, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or, which one of you, if your son asks for a fish, or your child asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, love that part, right? Jesus looking at us and saying, you know, you give good gifts to your children, and you guys are evil. If that's how you give gifts to your children, How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Do you see what Jesus is doing in this passage? He's saying when you ask, you receive. When you seek, you find. When you knock, the door is opened. Why? Because you got the prayer just right? No. Because God is who God is. Our expectation isn't grounded in the specifics of our prayer. It is grounded in who God is. And the reason that we fail to expect good from this God is we believe a lie. I've been thinking about how everything kind of comes back to the garden in Genesis. Adam and Eve are there, and everything's beautiful and wonderful, and they have fellowship with God, and it's just glorious and wonderful, and God just says, don't eat of this one tree. And then Eve one day has happened to walk by the tree, and she hears the whisper of the liar. God's holding out on you. God doesn't care about you. God isn't good. God's not generous. God's not fatherly. He doesn't really love you. And he's not really wise, because if he really was wise, he would give you what you know you want. And what you want is what he told you not to have. Lies. Right? Lies. But here's the truth. We can pray with expectation because of this. The reason we can pray connect that with what we read today in our confession of faith from Romans 8, 32. When God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Do you see the generosity of this Father? The love and care of this Father? A Father who was willing to graciously give us all things in Christ. And so we pray with expectation. But still there's that nagging thought in the back of your head, right? I know there's so many times that I have prayed and things didn't turn out the way that I wanted them to. So many times I prayed for something and it just didn't happen. And it seemed like God didn't care. And sometimes we call those unanswered prayers, right? If everything that I've said so far is true, and I believe it is, because it comes straight from Scripture, then this means that many of our unanswered prayers are actually unrecognized answers to our prayers. Let that sink in for a minute. Many of our unanswered prayers are actually unrecognized answers to our prayers, because Jesus has promised, ask and you will receive. You will. What will you receive? Will you receive exactly what you ask for? No, but as you ask, you will receive. Seek and you will find. Will you find exactly what you're looking for? Maybe, but maybe not. But you will find what God has for you. Knock and it will be open to you. Will you like what you see on the other side of the door at first? Maybe not. But then you'll find that there's a blessing that comes from it. You see, sometimes God's answers to our prayers are a direct yes. Some of you are going to be skeptical of this, and I understand that. But in preparation for this prayer, I was looking for an opportunity to pray an expectant prayer, okay? And some of you know that there were tornadoes that came through the south this week. And I heard that the tornadoes were coming and how deadly they were going to be and all that kind of stuff. And so I literally prayed, Lord, I really would rather there not be any tornadoes at all. That would be my preference. But you're God, you're sovereign. So whatever will bring most glory to you, my request would be at least spare lives. The next morning, Don and I are watching the news. And the newscaster talks about all the destruction and everything. And at the very end, he says these words. This is the good news that came from all of it. There were no deaths in these tornadoes. And only minor injuries. And my jaw dropped to the floor. And I thought, did that really just happen? And I'm a pastor. That's the kind of thing I should expect God to do. And yet there was doubt, there was unbelief, and there was surprise that he answered that way. How many things do we not receive because we just don't believe that he will do, and we don't pray? Sometimes God's answer is yes, but not yet. Miss Amy, we've all prayed for her healing. All these long months of battling cancer, and we've all prayed for her that she would be healed. And then she dies, and we think, well, God didn't hear our prayer. Well, what if we're just seeing it the wrong way? What if he is answering our prayer? Because absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And for those who believe in Christ, just as Christ was raised from the dead with a resurrection body that will never die again, that won't be subject to sickness or pain or difficulty or problems like what we experience in this life, so will Miss Amy. One day, her body will be a perfect resurrection body. That's what God promises. So if we look at it from an eternal perspective, God is saying, yes, I will heal her, just not yet. Sometimes God answers yes, but not in the way you will expect. And sometimes God says no. But because he is good and wise and generous and fatherly, there is something greater in mind that he has for us. Do you believe that? I often come to this story of Joseph in Genesis, and it reminds me of this point. If you don't know the story, the account is just real briefly. Joseph had these brothers, and they were jealous of him, and they wanted to kill him, but instead they sold him into slavery, and he went into Egypt, and then eventually he ends up in prison for something he didn't do. And Joseph is sitting there, and I can't imagine Joseph not being in that prison and saying, "What's going on, God? Why am I here? Why am I in this prison?" For years, he stayed in that prison, right? And then one day, he's talking with this other person, and he finds out that they had a dream, and he says, "Oh, I can tell you about dreams," and he gives him an interpretation, and all the next thing you know, he is being exalted to the next highest place with Pharaoh in Egypt because he told Pharaoh what his dream was about. And then years later, during a famine, where people were starving to death, his brothers come and they're looking for food, and Joseph has given Pharaoh all that he needed to know in order to be able to store up grain for everybody, including his brothers who hated him. And his brothers are, of course, afraid of him, and they say, "Oh no, don't, Joseph, don't kill us, don't kill us." And Joseph is like, "Well, no, you meant what you did for evil. God meant it for good. God meant it for good." And if God can do that in the midst of something that looked like it was an unanswered prayer, it was awful, it was terrible circumstances, if God can really do that in that circumstance, he can do that in your circumstance. In fact, I would say this, if you look at the Lord Jesus and him dying on a cross, the Son of God, very God of very God, coming to earth, and we crucify him, we spit on him, we mock him, and we put him in a grave when he dies, that's one of the worst things I can imagine us doing. And yet it was the thing that led to our salvation. God is a God who is able to bring good out of bad. And that leads us to our action point for this week. Now, for those of you who haven't been here, I've been giving action points for us to do, and there's part of me that was like, okay, what's my action point going to be for this week? Pray more expectantly? How do you do that? And then I came across this story. I know we're running a little bit longer than normal, but just bear with me. There's a guy named Greg Groeschel. He is a pastor, I think, of a Life Church, and he tells a story about how one day he and his staff members were playing games, and one was hiding in a closet and was going to jump out at him, and he realized the guy was in the closet, and so he grabbed a chair and tried to put it up underneath the doorknob to lock the guy in, but the chair was too short, and so he couldn't lock the guy in. But he told him, there's a chair underneath the doorknob now. You can't get out. And his friend was like, let me out, let me out. No, you're going to have to stay in there all day. Door's not locked. The chair isn't really there. The guy never even tries to open the door. In fact, he climbs up one of the shelves in there and tries to climb out through the roof in order to get out of the closet that the door is completely open. What that tells me is that sometimes we lock ourselves up in a closet, so to speak, in a prison, so to speak, because of our perspective on what's happening, rather than having a perspective of faith and believing and trusting. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why I'm in a closet and I think I'm locked in. But I believe that God is going to bring good because he is a generous, wise, good Father. So it's really about a change of perspective. And that's what leads to our action point today. Here's your action point. If you want something you got to do this week, you want to do to encourage yourself to be expectant, here's your action point. Take time each day, especially before you pray, to remind yourself of God's fatherly love, wisdom, and generosity. There's no other way to change your perspective than to remind yourself of what God says about himself. And I'm going to do this really quickly because I know we're running out of time. Take passages like Matthew 6, 7, and 8. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. Or maybe take Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every single one that God has, he's blessed us with it. Or maybe 2 Peter 1:3-4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Wow, that's an amazing passage to reflect on every day. Or maybe Hebrews 11:6, without it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You hear that last phrase? He rewards those who seek him. Or maybe Philippians 4, 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Or maybe you want to take a look at Luke 12, where basically Jesus says, don't worry about food, don't worry about your clothing, don't worry about any of those things. What you need to concern yourself with is the kingdom. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. And then he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Or maybe what will be helpful to you is Jesus' words in John 16. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Or maybe you just need to focus on 2 Corinthians 9:8, which says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I guarantee you all, if we start looking at those passages day in and day out, our minds will be renewed, our hearts will be inflamed, and we will love our God who is our Father, who cares for us, who is generous, who is wise, and we will pray with expectancy. Putting myself on the line and saying that, I guarantee that if we will do that, God will bless. So let's grow. Let's grow in praying expectantly, knowing that God in his loving wisdom will answer our prayers in his own time and in his own way. Let me pray for you all that we'll be able to do that. Father, you are a good God who knows how to give good gifts to your children. And I know that one of the best gifts that you've given us is the Lord Jesus. Our connection to him by faith. That we have the Holy Spirit residing in us and we can know that you love us, that you've adopted us, that we are your children, and we can cry out, Abba, Father. And we know that sometimes we ask for things that aren't good for us, and in your wisdom you say no, but you promise to give what is really good, because you are a good, wise, and generous Father. Help us to believe that, and help us, Holy Spirit, empower us to believe, to pray expectantly. And we trust you that you will do this. In Jesus' name, amen.